Welcome back to the program. Hour number two of Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard live from Las Vegas. James Salinas out there in Denver, Colorado, hosting, doing a fabulous job as always. James is so fluid in the National Football League. We've had a flex of Sunday Night Football. The news has come down that the Raiders offensive line is quarantined because of a positive test by Trent Brown. Part of the intense protocols. So they are quarantined right now. And because of this, the schedule has shifted. The Sunday Night Football game will now be the Seahawks at Arizona. Kind of ensures that game commences on Sunday Night Football. They have that big stage and a big showcase game. The Raiders and the Buccaneers, Tampa Bay and Tom Brady, they have shifted to a regular time frame, if you will, 4:05 Eastern on Sunday. But also the possibility, if they have to move that game to Monday or another date because of the quarantine situation, the NFL has that flexibility as well. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, obviously they want to make sure that they have a primetime game in place that they know is going to play come Sunday night. You don't want to have a game. I mean, it would have been a great game. You're talking about Tampa playing the Raiders on Sunday night in Las Vegas. That's Tom Brady coming into Las Vegas. I mean, terrific storylines all around. But yeah, I mean, if it's from a network's perspective, yeah, they need to make sure that they have something on tap for Sunday night. They can't have it be an empty time slot. So, I mean, from that perspective, makes sense. I think the bigger concern is, all right, let's talk about that game. Let's talk about Tampa and the Raiders not having their offensive line, haven't practiced together all week, don't know when they're going to be able to practice, if they're going to be able to practice. I suspect they're probably not going to be able to have any kind of time together because they've all had to self-quarantine, I think, for that 5 days. So let's say they do end up, whether it's Sunday and or Monday, let's say they even play it Monday, there won't be any practice time together. And I think from that for that offensive line, looking at how Tampa's performed at the defensive front and playing against Todd Bowles and all the different looks and the pressure looks and the blitzes that come from every way, shape, or form and the amount of pressure that the Buccaneers are able to apply to the quarterback, I think it's vital for the Raiders to be able to have cohesion and practice time together to be able to work through that and be prepared as best as possible. So I think definitely from that standpoint, huge edge to the Buccaneers. And I think we saw that last week, Pritch, with the Patriots. Mm-hmm. Now, that was a longer period of time, not being able to practice, but in and out, nope, got to go home, can't be in the facilities, not having a whole lot of practice time together. Plus, they had some injuries at that offensive line, but it was really a struggle for them. You could just see the fact that lack of practice time really hurt their continuity on offense, and they weren't able to really move the football at all against Denver. From your perspective, when we talk about the National Football League and players being creatures of habit, and now these things get uprooted where you're not able to practice collectively as a team, what do you think that impact is going to look like for that Raiders in particular, that Raiders offensive line and that offense as a whole?
I think the Raiders are worried about it. Coach Gruden even talked about that. Derek Carr tried to put a brave face out there when he had comments about it, but you're talking about your backup offensive line against one of the better defenses, a top five defense in the National Football League and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you do not want to go out there with your B team. You want to go out there with your A team if you can. I'm looking at this line. It's -3.5 right now for Tampa. That totals 53.5. So the protocol, this is a new intense protocol that was implemented recently between the NFL and the NFLPA. So if somebody tests positive, like Trent Brown, he tested positive, they do the contact tracing. And so if it's determined that guys came in close contact, they're secluded, they're quarantined for at least 5 days. Now, they would be ready to return and cleared to play by Sunday. But like what you just talked about, the quality and preparation, it just wouldn't be there for that starting offensive line, that entire unit. So I think that hampers the Las Vegas Raiders in a considerable fashion. But when you think about Sunday Night Football, wanting that product on TV, they don't want that. And certainly, I think there's a lot of concern within the Raiders organization that they're not going to be prepared to match up against Todd Bowles and that defense.
Yeah, I think I absolutely. And even if they are, let's say they're all cleared and everybody's healthy and fine, they haven't been able to practice of all the teams that you need to have preparation
right.
for. Because it's not a division opponent where you're used to seeing them. You know their tendencies. And I know there's tape and there's film and all those things for coaches to work through. And I don't know how you translate that into a Zoom, into Zoom practices
you don't.
And calls. I mean, you can talk about those things, but you need to prepare for it on the field, mm-hmm. right? You need to simulate that with your practice squad players. You know, they're who's playing JPP and all those kind of things, right? So being prepared, working through practice, that's the whole point of your have a full week of practice to do those things. I think in this case, not only does that hurt, I mean, I definitely would completely lean to the Buccaneers side as far as the point spreads goes, but also looking at the total at 53.5, how are the Raiders going to be able to score? I think the Raiders are already going to have a hard time trying to move the football against that defensive front. But now you talk about not having your collective offensive line, even if they are all cleared and they come back and maybe they play Sunday and or Monday, no time to practice. How are they going to have any consistency on offense to move the football, to sustain drives and to put points on the board?
Right. Any respect for the Raiders' defense, James, when you think about they faced Drew Brees, they beat the Saints, they faced Patrick Mahomes recently, they beat them on the road. Now they're at home against Tom Brady in Tampa. Any respect towards that defense?
Well, they've been kind of, that's what's been, I think, most surprising is the games that they have been able to step up into playing teams, like you just said, with New Orleans and their home opener. And maybe that was being the home opener, although obviously there weren't any Las Vegas fans there. Still, it's your new digs, your new city, obviously a tremendous stadium there, and you're playing on Monday night to get it done, and they did get it done. I think the biggest surprise was how they really shut down the Chiefs in that second half matchup a couple weeks back when they played in Kansas City and had the outright win as a significant underdog there. Really, it was Kansas City didn't do anything in that second half, albeit for a late touchdown where they were just playing prevent and really just running, you know, trying to kill clock on that defensive side. I don't know. Maybe it was more so that Kansas City was feeling like that. We see this all the time. I mean, we see teams that get flat from game, you know, and from scheduling spots for mm-hmm. a particular game. What about that from a player's perspective, even within a game? Pritch, is there overconfidence that comes knowing your opponent and feeling like, all right, we've got this. Man, we didn't play the best first half, but I think we're good. Do you see overconfidence sometimes just within a game itself?
Yeah, we saw it last week with Green Bay. They were not prepared for what Bowles did to them and the Tampa Bay defense. I think Tampa Bay also took exception to some of the comments by the Packers. Aaron Rodgers coming in there pretty cocky. So that was an occasion when you saw Tampa Bay get up for a game. And certainly Green Bay not be prepared and play down a few notches there. And it cost them a game. It cost them a loss in the loss column there. So that definitely happens, James. When you look at the Seattle Seahawks and the Arizona Cardinals, the game that they flexed to, Sunday Night Football, I guess, found value in the fact that defensively, Arizona's playing solid ball. You got Kyler Murray. He's an attraction. And, of course, Russell Wilson now, MVP type of candidate. Divisional game two, you look at this line, -3.5 favoring Seattle on the road. Do they keep it going, and do they remain undefeated here, James?
Yeah, this one's a tough one for me. It's Seattle's played so well. We know how they've been, especially on the offensive side of the football, just slinging the football around. Russell Wilson now is in the conversations for NFL MVP, and rightfully so. Big win for Arizona on Monday night, but yeah, they played well, but more so that was just the dysfunction to me of the Dallas Cowboys and where they are not only as a team, but ultimately right now I think as a franchise. So huge game. Love these division games. So should be an exciting game. In years past, Arizona has really played, they've really played the Seahawks tough, but I think now with it's a whole new regime, it's a whole new coaching staff from last year, you know, a new young quarterback stepping in there. I think the concern for me is going to be on the defensive side for Arizona, and where are they going to get a pass rush from? It didn't really have to come into play against the Cowboys last week because that's just not a good football team by any measure, but when you're talking about Russell Wilson and needing to get some pressure on him to at least try to get him out of his comfort zone and out of any kind of rhythm. You don't have Chandler Jones there. He's lost for the season for the Arizona Cardinals. Could be a tall order. I suspect when we're looking at this game, 56 points. Yeah, I know Arizona has the only team that hasn't gone as far as any of their games hit the over yet. Mm-hmm. But in this case, it's so hard to go against Seattle and that offense to say they're going to continue to keep them off the board and keep the game close. I think the game will be close, but I suspect there's going to be an opportunity for some big plays made on both sides of both sidelines, being able to go out there and both offenses being able to generate some big plays in the passing game.
Right, and now there's some juice to the game because you're on Sunday Night Football. The Cardinals, they were just on Monday Night Football, kind of amped up for that. We saw that reaction from Kyler Murray and certainly some other players, DeAndre Hopkins. So now you have Seattle and the situation coming to town and another primetime matchup. So I think the game will be juiced up. I think the players will be hyped for that situation too. The news about Antonio Brown maybe coming into the fold for the Seattle Seahawks too. So I'm sure that might be mentioned on Sunday Night Football. So many storylines here. The trucks are now going to leave Las Vegas and get down to Arizona for the game. But looking forward to this matchup, that total 56. So expecting a lot of offense in this matchup, perhaps. Let's move over to news and notes too when it involves the AFC East because of Fitzpatrick. Heartbroken, James. I haven't seen that before. I've seen a quarterback cry on the sideline, but I haven't seen or heard a quarterback be heartbroken by the Tua decision. So here you have a situation with Fitzpatrick falling apart, I guess, emotionally. And I don't know if that's going to hamper the team at all. The team thinks that they're going to be better with Tua out there.
Well, maybe the front office does. And maybe some of this was, if you try to do some digging into Fitzpatrick's contract, I think some of this is really talking about the incentives that he was starting to move forward with on pace because they were winning football games. I think they've exceeded the expectations of this team. And I think Flores has done a good job of coaching, especially on the defensive side. I know they went after and got some free agents on the back end for their secondary. That's really helped out. But I think from a competitive standpoint, the Dolphins have been competitive. Flores has been able to go in there and really change that. Talk about it. We know who the coach was prior to that there, Bridge, and we won't get into you know who that was, the coach of the Miami Dolphins of the past few years. But I mean, when you're talking about Fitzpatrick, that's kind of a business decision in my mind that it came from the front office looking at those incentives. Yeah, I know that Tua is he's going to be the quarterback of the future, but they were still winning games, and you know what you're going to get out of Fitzy back there. He's not afraid to sling it. He's going to go and he's going to take chances. He's not going to sit back there and be afraid. So you take the good with the bad with him for what it's worth. But now you go in with Tua and you really don't know. So from a player's perspective, let me ask you this, Bridge. Mm-hmm. From a player's perspective, if this was financially driven and they're looking at some of those incentives that Fitz was starting to approach when it came to the amount, because he had a lot of incentives in his contract. So the amount of snaps that he was going to take, the percentage of snaps and those types of things. And now they're going to sit him and there's some whispers or some discussions behind the scenes when it comes to players talking about, look, if I've got incentives too, what happens if I start to make my incentive get close to those numbers? Are they going to sit me too? I mean, what does that really do to the mindset of players individually and then collectively in that locker room?
Oh boy, we're in some rough waters here right now because you pulled back the curtain on some things that happens all the time that's not talked about that much. The Dolphins are plus 800, by the way, to win their division. They're in second place right now with Fitzpatrick and playing good football, playing hard. I think Flores has done a fabulous job out there. And so from a locker room standpoint, James, if this decision was made to slow down or stop the incentives that Fitzpatrick could make, I think that does not go well in the locker room. I think that does not go over well at all. I think players will be conscious of that. Certainly you hope Fitzpatrick doesn't repeat it or talk about it. And if he does, I think you might have to move him. I think the Dolphins might have to consider that because that could tear you down. You have some young players in that locker room. They've drafted well. They brought a different culture, a different mindset. And if this was done from a financial standpoint, as a player, I wouldn't like that because that could happen to me. Say I'm about to hit some incentives and, I'm helping the team win. My playing time has increased. And all of a sudden, you're going to put the kibosh on that. I would not like that.
Well, and so again, it's who knows exactly what the motive was, but mm-hmm. maybe there was some motive when it comes to the financial dealings of players there. And I think that's where it comes with, are you playing to win? Obviously the players, everybody that steps on that field is playing to win, and they're competitive in nature. That's why they made it as far as they did in playing in the National Football League, and they're in the show. But when you have somebody like Fitzy, because I think he brings such a pedigree when it comes to the toughness, the mental toughness that he brings, his leadership qualities that he brings, and he's brought that to a number of teams. He's been, he's the ultimate journeyman that brings it around. And so if they feel like he's coming out and he's given his best effort, so obviously he's heartbroken from that perspective that he's not allowed to continue to build on what they, some of the success that they've had this season. That just says we're moving on from you. To me, it dispels out, depending on what your status is on that team and what your contract status is and your tenure with that team, they might be willing to move on from you as a Miami Dolphin as well.
Absolutely. And I think the Dolphins organization saw the reaction from the fans, and they saw dollar signs in their eyes. Let's take dollars from a player, and certainly let's make more dollars from a different player, in this case, Tua. Because he is the future. But Fitzpatrick being heartbroken, I was surprised by those comments, but some heartfelt comments, I guess, from Fitzpatrick. Up next, I asked a question: if you had to choose one, and you have to, which one would you choose? James and I will talk about that next, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. This is the first week of a full college football schedule, and we've updated VSiN College Football Betting Guide, including all teams from the Big Ten, Mid-Atlantic, and Pac-12. Get the guide plus everything VSiN has to offer for the rest of the football season for only $129. From now through February 8th, you'll get our weekly digital betting guides, pro and college football, 24/7 live video stream, the daily email updates featuring the best bets from every show host and guest, breaking news, advanced stats, and game previews, all on vsin.com. Get in the game. Visit vsin.com/subscribe to get your football midseason special today. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you. James, I asked a question. If you have to choose one, and you have to, which one would you choose? I'm speaking of the NFC East, a team that has to win that division and go on to the playoffs, actually host a playoff game. I mean, it's crazy to think about. But the Cowboys are +110, Eagles +145, Giants +800, and Washington football team +900.
Well, since I have to, and we're speaking hypothetically, if I have to, it's going to be the Eagles. Just start right there at the quarterback position. Every other team, right there, the Giants. Do you want to take a long shot with +800 and go with Daniel Jones to find way to win? They still have a number of games to play, so it's not like it's a tight race right now. But it's still early in the season. We're not even at the halfway mark, so I don't want to put my money on Daniel Jones or the lack of any kind of offense that we've seen out of the Giants for the first 6 weeks, as well as Washington. It's still a complete work in progress there, a whole different change of culture that's needing to happen, really having to happen. So, we're going with Kyle Allen. He's going to be serviceable, but he's a turnover waiting to happen at the quarterback position too. And then the dysfunctional team that is the Dallas Cowboys. I don't want any part of that team. I mean, you're hearing all these rumblings now, right? Not only are the injuries, like the offensive line is completely decimated. I'm not sure who it was that was playing left tackle last on Monday night, but I don't think anybody was playing left tackle. That young fellow that was coming in to sub in for Smith was just getting absolutely worked on that side.
He was
way
on
behind the jump. And totally. So Dalton didn't have a prayer back there, but you're hearing so many rumblings now with players saying that the coach, the McCarthy doesn't mm-hmm. know what he's doing. We're not prepared. They don't make in-game adjustments. Like, talk about dysfunction going through that. They're not even holding back. And I think you were talking about Fitzpatrick in the last last segment saying, well, I'm surprised he came out and said that. I think that's where we're at now. Like, players are not afraid to voice their concerns, and they do it, whether they're doing it publicly to the media, I mean, the social media platforms that are out there. I think players are not in a position now where they feel like they have a lot more leverage, and their voice carries more weight and more power now, that they're not going to really just talk about those things behind closed doors or with some of their other teammates and colleagues that way. They're not afraid to put things out there right now. So when you're talking about Dallas, yeah, those things are going to continue to stir, and that's what happens when you're losing. I don't see them being able to right that ship. I don't think McCarthy's going to be able to do that. He doesn't have any handle on that locker room. We saw it from game one when they played the Rams opening week. That team looked completely listless, no effort, no energy, and that's carried through for the so far through this season, through 6 weeks. So I'll stick with the team in Philadelphia. They probably got the most talent, and then at the quarterback position, albeit Wentz has really been taking a beating, their offensive line has had issues. Eventually, a majority of those players are going to come back. They're not out for the season. They will get healthy, and I think from that perspective, they will be able to right the ship. So I like Philadelphia to win that division going forward.
Philly's at plus 145. The reason why I say, or I pose a question that you have to, because somebody has to win that division. And it's like, okay, who do you bet on if you want to? I mean, if people want to participate, certainly, but because you're going to have a winner of that division, you think about the Cowboys, like what you said, dysfunctional. At least Philly's trying hard. I guess that's why the game tonight is so key. What's interesting to me are the Giants. The Giants, they didn't have any expectations on this season. They're rebuilding, got a new coach, but yet everybody's come down to their level now. And I wonder if they can go for it. Like, so if they get victory tonight, what does that do for the Giants organization and that football team?
Yeah, I would say that's a pretty big if. So I don't have any faith in the Giants. And then looking at their schedule, Pritch, I mean, their schedule is still going to be Philly played. They still have a tough schedule going forward, but those first few games out of the box, those were some tough games that the Eagles have had to suffer through with those multitude of injuries. Those are all teams that the Giants haven't faced yet. They still have to go on the road to Seattle. They still have to go on the road to the Ravens. And we're talking outside the division. They still got to play the Buccaneers. So a lot of tough games still on that schedule for the Giants to come. And I just can't see Daniel Jones being the one that's going to lead them, even if it's to a 6-10 record or whatever that might be. I think the bigger bet is, will anybody be over 500? Sure. I'd say absolutely not. Bet the no. Everybody's going to be under 500 in that division.
Everybody plus money in that division. Up next, key decision in college football and the National Football League, including the draft. That's up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. NFL and MLB playoffs are underway, so it's time for you to get into Quick Picks, the easy-to-play daily parlay game that delivers huge payouts. Quick Picks keeps it simple with daily matchups and over-unders of the best players from all your favorite teams. Not living in a state with legal mobile sports betting for you to play? No problem. Quick Picks keeps it simple for everybody for when you're thinking about Quick Picks in states that you don't have legal mobile sports betting. So action is available in nearly 30 states, including New York, California, Florida, Massachusetts, Texas, and Illinois. VSiN users can sign up for Quick Picks now and get 100% free deposit bonus up to $100. And use PayPal so you can be confident that it's secure and legal. Legal for residents in 28 states. Must be at least 21 years old. Go to quickpicks.com/VSiN bonus to find out more. Welcome back to the program. It's Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you. James, interesting question looms for Trevor Lawrence. Does he come out? Roddy White, people familiar with him, a receiver for Atlanta. He knows some people out there in Clemson, at Clemson, at University. And he says, and he suggests to Trevor Lawrence to stay in if indeed Trevor Lawrence, if the Jets have that number one overall pick. Interesting decision, because I think there's a lot of layers here. The Jets' number one pick, Trevor Lawrence still has eligibility. I'm going to ask you, do you think Trevor Lawrence should come out if, in fact, the Jets have that number one overall pick in next year's draft?
Absolutely. I think take the money. So if he doesn't come out, then does that mean next, the following year, he stays in school, he stays healthy, he's able to stay healthy, doesn't damage himself? I mean, that's always the risk. We see that week in and week out. Look what happened last year with Tua, right? Fortunately, he's able to get through that, but that could have been a career-ending injury. And I think when that happened to Tua last year, that was what was initially feared and diagnosed, is that might end his, forget about his college career, he might not be able to play football ever again. So how many millions of dollars were on the table with that that might have been lost? So I think for Trevor, absolutely, I think you got to take the money. So if even if it goes to the Jets, I don't think Gase is going to be there. So you'll be able to start anew. You'll start over and be able to start fresh with you know, starting with a new coach. Because otherwise, if he does stay, he stays back. What does that mean? So that the following year, you're going to go down to Jacksonville and play with the Jaguars? Is there going to be the worst team? I think the Jaguars, the players screwed up this whole thing because they actually won that first game against Indianapolis, you know, back in week one. But I think you got to take the money. You can't just pick and choose. I think that's when you're the first number one pick and you're that quarterback, you're going to, there's a reason why those teams have the number one pick. Look at the Cincinnati Bengals last year. Worst team in the league. They get Joe Burrow. He's taking his lumps, but he's in there. He's struggling. He's fighting through it. He's competing. I think that's what really will be challenged, is not only the physical toughness, but it's that mental toughness to take losing.
Right.
Lawrence has been a winner everywhere. Right. He's used to winning. They're not used to, he's used to beating teams by 50, 60 points, not the other way around. So that'll be what the biggest challenge is, aside from staying healthy, is staying healthy mentally as you're losing. But regardless of whatever team he goes through this year, you know, this coming, you know, in 2021 or 2022, if he stays, yeah, if he stays in school coming out, he's going to be challenged with that of being on a losing franchise regardless.
That's why I said there's layers. So we're looking at odds to have the most losses this season. The Jets are minus 250. There's nothing on the board in terms of odds to be the number one pick in the NFL draft, though, just via BetMGM and DraftKings. So that's off the board, trying to predict who's going to be the number one overall selection. So Trevor Lawrence is thought of to be that player. But what if he does stay in, though, because of the layers? So, okay, the layers of are getting injured in college. Yes, that's there. The layer of going to the Jets with a new coach, a new GM, but yet the Jets organization is still dysfunctional. Like, if you're Trevor Lawrence, when will you win? Because, like, what you said is true, James. Take the money, the number one overall selection. But what about that second contract that's so key? We just saw Patrick Mahomes sign for $500 million, almost $1 billion, $500 million there. So that second contract, I think, is just as key as that original contract if you're Trevor Lawrence.
Well, I think that's the dilemma with quarterbacks going, if you're that talented and you're going to these, you know, these perennial national championship caliber programs, that's what's going to happen. And he has the talent to do that. Yeah, if you get to be Patrick Mahomes and kind of hide out at Texas Tech and, you know, they're not going to the national championship game, they're not going to be that kind of program to where you don't have to get drafted so highly. I mean, that it's a double-edged sword either way they go. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, I think if you have the pedigree to go to a power school like Clemson or Alabama, those types of programs, you're going to go there. You're going to have all the notoriety. You're going to be able to go out and make big plays because you're going to be surrounded with so much talent, you know, up on both sides of the football. You're going to be a winning program. So regardless of wherever you go, you're still going to go to, when you're getting the number one pick, Pritch, it comes back to that. It's not a good team. Now, maybe the franchise isn't quite as dysfunctional, but it's not going to be a good team. And that's what, again, gets challenged, is their ability to have to suffer through losing. So we'll see how Joe Burrow continues to fight through that. He's done a good job with it so far and keeps his head up. And I think that's where the leadership qualities come out, is it's all fun and games when you're rolling up 40 and 50 points on everybody. But you get to the National Football League, obviously, you know that, Pritch. It's not like that. It's not going to happen. So how do you handle losing? Dealing with success is one thing, but when you're losing, that's when you really see the true character and the leadership qualities.
Sure. And losing affects the wallet, though. Like Trubisky, like, he's not going to get a $500 million contract. He was drafted ahead of Patrick Mahomes. You think about Deshaun Watson too. Like, he signs a mega deal because they're winning. You know, they've been to the playoffs. I think the key is for Trevor Lawrence, when you're this talented, when you are a transcendent type of player, I think you look for those situations, like whether you're John Elway, Peyton Manning, Eli Manning. I think you look for situations that you can be a winner and therefore more profitable as you proceed in your career.
Well, and I think the talent will play out, even if it becomes you go to some other, you know, it doesn't work out. Let's say you go to the New York Jets and you're the team's terrible. If you have enough talent, you'll still get that second contract, whether it's there or somewhere else. You talk about Trubisky. I think Trubisky should just be happy he made the money that he made in the first place and getting drafted to the level that he did.
Good point.
Because there wasn't gonna be a big second contract coming, regardless of what team. And that was actually a good football team he went to with the Bears, at least definitely on the defensive side, but I think that's just where it's at. I think again, he if he's coming out, he'll obviously be the number one pick overall. And if it happens to be the Jets, which most likely it probably will be, I mean, you got to come out, take the money, go to New York City, and be the man. Go out to New York City and be the man for the Jets.
Do what Sam Darnold cannot do, or any other quarterback prior to Sam Darnold. But it's an interesting topic, and certainly we'll discuss further as we get closer to the draft to see who, in fact, will be the number one overall selection to an NFL draft. Up next, James and I will get back to the National Football League. Again, news and notes, COVID situations, injuries. We'll keep you informed. Keep it locked right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Every game is important at BetMGM Sports, and new customers have a chance to win $100 in free bets when they place a $1 wager on the Giants versus Eagles game. And if either team scores a touchdown, you win. Just sign up and make your first bet with bonus code VSIN100 to take advantage of this special offer. If you're ready for showtime, then you're ready for BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Download the BetMGM app today and use promo code VSIN100 to win $100 when you bet $1 on the Giants versus Eagles game. And if either team scores a touchdown, you win. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old, located in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you today. James, in the National Football League, some key games, divisional games. Very interested in your thoughts on these games here. Panthers at the Saints. This one open, New Orleans -7. The Saints, I guess they threatened to leave New Orleans and play at LSU because they wanted some fans in the stands. New Orleans, the city, I think they're going to allow, 3,000, maybe 5,000 fans into the dome for this key game against the Panthers.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that's going to mean as far as there. If there's one place you just can't replicate the intensity of a full house, is going to be in the Superdome in New Orleans. So, I mean, whether it's family and friends coming in, I think this is where for Carolina, I think maybe they got a little. You know, got a little taste last week of humility. They'd been playing really well as the underdog, and then they became a favorite, albeit very short favorite. But, ultimately, the Bears kind of controlled that game from start to finish. It was a close game. It was a competitive game. But Carolina really couldn't get much going offensively. I don't think McCaffrey's going to come back this year. Might be eligible, but they may continue to hold off for another week, another thing to look at. But I am actually looking out the number out here. I see some 7.5s on the board.
Right.
I kind of lean towards the Panthers at that 7.5 number. I kind of like that here. Beyond, you know, you get through that 7, which always the key number, 3-7 with the NFL. But in this case, you know, New Orleans hasn't been playing up. If any team has really kind of, you know, a couple weeks ago prior to their bye, they played that Monday night game against the Chargers and were really fortunate to win that game. The missed field goal again comes down to field goals, and the Chargers miss another field goal that would have won it at regulation. But, you know, the Saints really haven't played well, and really the only signature win, they got that signature win early against Tampa week one, but I think Tampa was still trying to figure out who they are and what was their identity going to be on offense. A lot of moving pieces, so it was going to take Tampa some time, which they've started to find themselves now the last few weeks. But aside from that, a comeback win against Detroit, where really for the Saints a number of players missing, that was a surprising kind of comeback win for them as they fell behind early. But, you know, anytime you have a Matt Patricia team, he finds ways to give the game back late in the game. So I don't know. I kind of like Carolina. I like where Matt Rhule has been going with this Carolina team. I think Teddy Bridgewater did not play very well last week, but it's still a very well-coached team. And I think now that they got a taste of losing again as far as the Panthers go. But what I love about the Panthers is they show up and compete every week, every play. And I don't think we've really seen that out of the Saints consistently this year.
Yeah, James, Coach Rhule really has the Panthers going in the right direction. I think Bridgewater, that leadership that you look for is evident. I think familiarity, too, with the personnel on the defensive side of the ball for New Orleans for Bridgewater is going to be key. Also, Michael Thomas, news about him and his hamstring. I guess he tweaked a hamstring in practice on top of his ankle. So here you have one injury leading to another injury. Now, I don't know if that's going to keep him out the game, but certainly dealing with an ankle and a hamstring, I don't know how effective he's going to be. But Carolina, no Christian McCaffrey yet. I don't believe that either. But like you said, they are playing better football. It's a divisional game, too. I think those games are probably generally tighter when you think about the competition out there.
Well, so Mike, let me ask you this. So you just mentioned Michael Thomas, and So he was suspended, right? He was supposed to come back and then got in a fight with one of the DBs in practice, apparently, whatever
the
details were. He got fined, but Then he got suspended. Mm-hmm. So having to come back, when those things happen, we know those things happen, especially offensive and defensive players they're not always the best of friends, and they're not hanging out and having a few cold ones together before or after games. But I think when we talk about kind of what is that message? Because somebody like Michael Thomas, I think there's a history of him not being the most likable teammate. And again, you don't have to love your teammates, but you got to respect them. And if you're going to go and fight with somebody, obviously they made the decision as an organization to suspend him and really send the message. So it must have been something rather severe when you have to come back like that. And you're a premier player, not only for your team, but in the league as far as Michael Thomas goes. How do you have to ingrate yourself, and how does that work itself back in to the good graces of that ball club? How do you see that kind of playing out for Michael Thomas having to come back and maybe do a little walk of shame?
Sure. You know, I would do some more digging here because you got to go back to the beginning of the season, the whole controversy with Drew Brees and some of his comments in the locker room on different sides, kind of divided there. We've got reports, or we received reports, certainly, that the locker room started to come together. But now that the season really hasn't gone the way that you thought it was going to go, and now you have some guys that are taking offense to whether you're tough or not, you're getting into fights, you're getting suspended, you're getting fined. All these things are not supposed to be happening for the Saints. In fact, this is supposed to be Drew Brees' swan song, really, if you think about it. He's going out. He's retiring after this year. So Michael Thomas, I would dig on some information there, because I think after Drew Brees leaves, what's going to happen to Michael Thomas? Is he going to be featured in the offense? Is he worried about that? He just got his contract. I get that. Emmanuel Sanders is there now, too. So I think you have a lot of moving parts, and certainly not everybody on the same page out there in New Orleans.
Yeah, well, and then injuries, too. Got to look at the injuries. They had some injuries to that offensive line for New Orleans. So it's early in the week. I'm looking at practice reports right now. Haven't seen anything. There's a few with Armstead in particular that did not practice their tackle. He did not practice yesterday, coming off coming off an extended period of time. Not sure what that means right now. Thursday is really the biggest key. Let's see where, once we get these reports back, you know, not only with some of the fracturing going on within certain certain groups within that locker room, but also being healthy, and particularly at the offensive line. Drew Brees has looked okay. You know, we know he can't, he's not going to get the ball down the field 40 and 50 yards like he did in the past. But I think the one thing that we did see on that Monday night matchup with the Chargers is that he did start to hook up with Emmanuel Sanders. So they did start to find some chemistry and some rhythm going offensively. So even if Michael Thomas is going to, if he does play, he's still going to take some time. He hasn't played in quite a while to get up to game speed. There may be still some good connection going on there for Brees as an outlet, especially with Sanders going kind of those shorter routes for Brees.
James, let's get out to another game that's pretty important. San Francisco is going to travel across country all the way out there to New England. Jimmy G's going back to New England. He's a quarterback that Bill Belichick originally wanted. Didn't happen because of Robert Kraft and Tommy. But certainly this game, New England's still favorite at -2. It opened at -5. Your thoughts on that line movement and this football game?
Well, I like the Patriots here. I think they're going to be able to come back and be hungry for this game. The Patriots, we talked about it earlier in the program, Pritch, where they didn't have, for all the COVID tests, everything that was going on there, didn't have any practice time, really, to come in and be prepared for the Denver Broncos last week, and they suffered for it and lost the game outright and really looked completely lost on offense. But they also had a couple rookies that were having to start on that offensive line, but they are getting healthier now. So I think Andrews is coming back at center, and Mason did come back in practice as well at the guard position. So I think that's going to give them a bonus going forward. And then for San Francisco, I think this is a tough scheduling spot for them. They're going to have to go out. Obviously, the travel is one piece, but you're coming off a big win against the Rams. But then next week, they have the 49ers on deck. So, or not the 49ers, the Seahawks on deck for the 49ers. So another big divisional game. And so I think from a perspective of who can afford to lose this game, not that teams are going to go in there and say, well, if we lose this game, it's not a big deal. But they know that ultimately within the standings, you're playing your division first. So this may not be as big of a game outside of Jimmy G wanting to come back and, you know, for whatever that's worth. But Jimmy G's best friend is going to be that offensive line. Trent Williams was hurt. He did not practice yesterday. And then Raheem Mostert has already been ruled out. So again, more issues at the running back position for San Francisco. And I think that's where Jimmy G really needs to not only establish, they need the running game to go. They're not going to play that same soft team that they did against the Rams. I think the Patriots are going to come in, be very motivated to redeem themselves from last week. And I look for a great and inspired effort out of the Patriots on Sunday.
Former players of Bill Belichick told everybody that how hard he was going to coach this week, too, in preparation for this game because of the showing that they had last week against the Broncos.
Well, and for the Patriots, there's the talk about structure. Mm-hmm. That's what Belichick is all about, structure. The creatures of habit and routine, that's what the Patriots are used to. So not being able to practice so many, all the distractions that went on to not being able to be together and go through their normal game preparation like they're used to, and it really impacted them last week against the Broncos. They're going to be able to do that this week. So that's, again, great point. They're going to be focused, they're going to be motivated, and they're going to get back to having the same rhythm and structure day in and day out when it comes to practice that Belichick provides. They're going to have that. So again, I definitely like the Patriots side on Sunday against the 49ers.
Looking for them to bounce back. Long travel trip there too for San Francisco. They're sitting in the cellar, 3-3 in that division. Key matchup, as we talked about earlier, Seattle versus the Cardinals, and then the Rams, too, rounding out that division. So interesting games. We're definitely going to talk about more of the football action this weekend coming up on Sunday. Also preview some more college football. That's in tomorrow's show. That'll do it for us tonight. James, enjoy Thursday Night Football.
Absolutely. You too, Pritch.
Thank you.
Leaning towards the under, but I'm not going to take a side on this game.
Yep. I'm looking at some props too. Not going to take a side, but I'll definitely try to enjoy the game as well. Everybody else out there, enjoy the game. That'll do it for us today. My guys in the desert coming up next right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.